Good afternoon. Today is Tuesday, December the 17th, 352nd day of the new year. Joining us this afternoon, Arcata Police Chief Tom Chapman. Hey, guy.
Brian, thanks for having me.
You look to me like you must have got up early this morning.
I get up every morning, nice and early, but I was shaken awake this morning.
Oh, that's right. Did you have any... Did anybody have any... I mean, there were stacks of CDs in the production room. They didn't move.
We had nothing.
It was just a nice release, is kind of the way we've been picturing it.
Right.
Even the Christmas lights outside were not swaying. I don't know. Somebody must have done more than just felt it, but it didn't seem like it was that big a deal.
No, I don't think so.
Yeah.
Woke people up.
Yeah. But, you know, at 5:30, most of us are kind of starting to move anyway.
Exactly.
I guess I'm a little blasé about these things.
It comes with living in the area.
That is true. This afternoon, we'll spend a little bit of time catching up on the crime and mayhem business in Arcata. Also, planning this time of the year. You may not think that this is a planning time because it's a mid-budget cycle. However, it is an opportunity to do some planning for the calendar year, and we'll talk about some of the plans for Arcata Police Department when we come back.
At my bank, I feel at home. I'm Trish Greggy of the Journey's End, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, hometown banking isn't just something they say, it's how they do business. I'm Kevin McClendon of Georgia's Glass, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, we invest in the future of our community every single day. I'm Greg Foster, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
Redwood Capital Bank, our interest is you. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Good afternoon, KINS News and Information Times, 3:13. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Tom Chapman. But before we do our quote this afternoon, let's see if we can find one here worthy of... Oh, that's a stupid one. The seafood diet. Seafood diet, right?
Right.
Yeah,
right.
You know who said it? They don't. It just says variously ascribed to. Here we go. Harry Seacombe's diet. You ready?
I am.
Pencil ready. Here we go. Eat as much as you like. Just don't swallow it. I'll have to try that one tonight.
Yeah, yeah.
see if I start shedding them real quickly. Well, you guys kind of seem to be like you're a little bit jealous of Eureka and a little bit jealous of the county here. So you had your own little stabbing and a couple of... knives and shootings and more druggie on druggies. You know, it's kind of like you guys are coming of age. What's going on?
You know, it has been a busy year or so for us crime-wise. One of the great things about Arcata is traditionally the violent crime rate has been really low. Property crime, not so much. We're within norms on our property crime, but our violent crime rate has
always been manageable.
It's been manageable.
It seems like it's going goofy.
Yeah,
and not just Arcata.
True. Yeah, very true. But we've had a few stabbings. We had a shooting back in May, and it's. I can't attribute it to anything but stupidity, but, you know, that's...
Can you draw a connection, Tom, or connect the dots with drugs?
In some cases, the last stabbing we had where the man died, that one was not necessarily drug-related. We didn't make a connection there, but
were those who committed the assault, though,
what?
Either high or goofy, or was it mistaken identity, or was it
we caught up to them later, you know, I think a week later or so, roughly a week later, so we can't say with any certainty, were they under the influence at the time of the crime or not? Alcohol was involved, but to what degree, it's hard for us to say.
I think from what the feedback has been that I've gotten, as well as just general over the years, those are the types of things that frighten people. Not that it was a stabbing in the middle of the town. Okay, that has its own degree of
sure.
fear. But that it seemed to be a random attack.
Right.
Not right. the druggy on druggy, not the spousal relationships or estranged right. relationships. This one just kind of seemed to be out of the blue.
Yeah, and that is, you're absolutely right. That is the fear factor, so to speak, for many people in the community is when you have a random act that there's no apparent connection between the victim and the suspect. That was not the case. Now, to say that somebody's hiding in the bush, you know, that's what I'm thinking of when I think of a random attack is somebody hiding in the bushes and jumping out and attacking somebody without provocation.
Pure random, right. numbers up, that
right.
kind of.
Right. And yeah. we don't have that. That hasn't been the case with any of our increase in violent crime. There's been a relationship, however slight, there's always been a relationship between the victim and the attacker, as was the case with the recent stabbing. They, you know, some words were exchanged, and, you know, they established a relationship, I guess is what I'm saying, that it wasn't a jump out of the bushes type of scenario. And that's the one that I get phone calls about from the community, very concerned about that, and feelings of safety and it being unsafe.
This one particular one, did that trigger those calls also because there wasn't a reference that they knew each other in the initial press releases?
Yes. Yeah, that absolutely did. Had a few emails, a few phone calls. People were rightfully concerned and upset about that happening in the community. You know, are they safe? Are they safe to go downtown?
Kind of brings shopping? It right back to the basics, though, when you're doing your press releases. Hey, guys, we want to be sure that we remember to include random, knew each other, I mean, something right. like that, just to right. kind of yeah. really give that little bit of extra information.
Absolutely. But we're always really cautious on how much information we put out and what's going to be used against us later in court. And, you know, so all of those things kind of play into that press release of what's going to happen.
Could you say something like, it appears as if the victim and the accused knew each other? I mean, is that right, yeah. safe enough?
It is when we feel like we know it. But, you know, initially,
sure, you don't want to be making yeah. that one up. Yeah.
Right. Initially, we had no idea. Now, once we were able to establish that relationship, we put that out.
KINS News and Information Times 319.
Now a minute of sunshine for Humboldt. The North Coast Repertory Theater is now celebrating its 30th season with 6 treats for Humboldt audiences. First is the George S. Kaufman Moss Hart Pulitzer Prize-winning comedy, You Can't Take It With You. Then the musical, You're a Good Man, Charlie Brown, based on the Peanuts comic strip. After the holidays, there'll be a double feature straight from ancient Greece, the murderous tragedy Oedipus the King and the comedy Women in Congress. Next is the side-splitting Complete Works of William Shakespeare, a parody in which all 17 of the Bard's plays are played in 97 minutes. Late spring features the North Coast premiere of the popular Les Miserables. The season ends with The Poor of New York, a melodrama from 1857 of the problems of a middle-class family not all that different from today's. For dates, times, and details, call 442-6278. Sunshine for Humboldt is a nonprofit civic organization dedicated to the people and events that make this a good place to live.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times 324. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Tom Chapman from the Arcata Police Department. Tom, this increase in violent, and I guess you'd call it violent activity, not necessarily violent criminal activity, but just activity. You've been around long enough. Are you seeing that this is just kind of a general trend of what's going on and maybe policing isn't just kind of having presence, but policing is also developing coping skills. Right, or you have, right. you know, a whack-a-mole in the middle of the plaza and let people, you know, do that or sure. do the thing where they smack it with a hammer and the thing goes up and you try to ring the bell, you know, the carnival
right,
game. I
right.
mean, is that the kind of stuff we're kind of getting to?
You know, it seems like there's been plenty of information out, whether it's anecdotal or scientific, that the tolerance level for violence seems to be decreasing, or that, you know, we're becoming a more violent society. You know, who would have thought of mass shootings, active shooters, school shooting situations, what, 20 years ago? Or, I mean, it's hard for me to put a time frame on that exactly, but it sure seems like it has proliferated.
Well, yeah, and then you get the mimicking going on. And,
right.
You
know, absolutely. And yeah. So, you know, there's a book, and I can't remember, I think it's called Stop Teaching Our Children to Kill. And the premise is that video game violence desensitizes youth during their developmental stages, and they become desensitized to violence.
Yeah, how many zombies do you need to kill?
Right. Yeah, exactly.
So
and,
to speak.
Grossman, I think, was the author of that, and so it's you know, but that's the theory, is that there's so violence is so prevalent on the big screen, in our video games, in our everyday life, that as a society we are becoming desensitized to it.
It would be interesting if the Canadians are experiencing something similar, or maybe the other developed countries that have got access to the videos, access to the games, access to the news media and all the things that we have. If it's an American cultural, take it back to the Wild Wild West.
Right.
Which it certainly wasn't as things like now weren't going on there then. Or if it's something that's kind of an American phenomenon.
Well, I don't want to take this too far in a different direction, but those countries don't have the same access to guns that our country has. And
Israel,
I'm not saying that is
Israel
right
doesn't
or right.
have it though, and everybody's got guns in Israel.
True.
Maybe that's it. Everybody, right.
everybody
has got it. So you show up and you're going to be stupid,
right.
And you're looking down 30 barrels.
Right.
All of a sudden, you get a little sober pretty darn quick, huh?
You know, so my intent isn't to get into the pros or cons of you know, gun regulation, but you know, that certainly plays a part. The access to firearms plays a part in
but
this.
like you said, it was a knife.
True.
Well, I'm sorry, you know, at most dinner tables we've got knives.
All of a sudden,
we're back to the ubiquitous
right
access. So it just is kind of intriguing in that.
Yeah,
regard.
But I mean, to put it back into the context of, does Canada or England, you know, are they seeing these same levels? I don't know that you can make those comparisons.
Do you have any concern? Have you talked with the high school and the junior highs about, we don't think, we don't expect, but the what if?
We go more into the what if
sure.
than we do anything else with our local schools. Shortly after, I think it was Newtown, we pulled all of their plans. So from all of our local schools, we asked to see their emergency plans and have evaluated those. The what if is real. You know, we have to look at the what if. We don't want to be caught flat-footed in this scenario. As highly unlikely as it is, we still need a plan.
Yeah. I would think this last goofball last week is probably the scariest of them all. Eagle Scout, well-liked, getting grades, no apparent drug use.
Right.
You know, maybe bullying, I don't know, but I mean, those are the ones that
I
mean, you can't even profile now.
Right. And we'll see as more information comes out. You know, typically there has been some red flags associated with the shooters and these people. But when there aren't any, that's...
Right, it's like the random act of violence.
Exactly. Yeah, absolutely.
Is bullying a concern for you? Not the trendy... But, I mean, real deal, kids picking on one kid.
You know, it is, from a law enforcement perspective, it's not necessarily criminal conduct. So day in and day out, you know, we're not necessarily dealing with that. However, we will see some of the repercussions of that, the suicidal behavior or in some instances suicide, not common, but certainly happens. And of course, as a society, you know, we should be concerned about it and the impact that it has.
Oh, yeah. So we gotta still got to protect the little guys.
Absolutely do.
KINS, News and Information Times, 3:30.
Decade of Difference, making a real difference for the future of the North Coast. This is Jim Ritter with Humboldt Live in the Arcata High School Career and College Center. Do you have life and work experiences that could be of benefit to our local youth? We're recruiting community members to mentor and share ideas with our middle and high school students. Please call me at 839-5114 for more information. The Decade of Difference, making a real difference for the future of the North Coast.
Good afternoon, KINS. News and Information Time is 3:35. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Tom Chapman, the police chief in the city of Arcata. Tom, this time of the year, you know, we're normally hearing from governmental entities things like mid-year course adjustment.
Right.
Which right. I always kind of say, danger, Will Robinson, danger. We hear it from the state. We hear it from the county. We hear it from everybody. Make sure you're on track, not overspending. Allocating things properly, looking for trends, all that kind of stuff. It's kind of refreshing to know that for some governmental units, the planning is on a calendar year. I don't know why. It just kind of feels normal.
Right, right.
So when you're looking at Christmas and New Year's, and we're a week away, 2 weeks away, depending on which of the two holidays, is there a lot of planning that you go through to play either the plan Bs or the what ifs, or to try to maybe anticipate and manage where the cat herd is going to go?
Right. And this is absolutely the time for us where we start to do that. In fact, just this morning we met with the Oyster Festival organizers or potential organizers for the coming year to start talking about plans and how the requirements that we're going to have for them and how to make their event successful and better. Of course, we've got Christmas and New Year's right around the corner, so we're finalizing staffing deployments, primarily New Year's Eve, our staffing deployment and what we're going to be doing New Year's Eve.
Want to be sure that Santa has plenty of landing space.
Santa, normally that's, you know, normally Christmas Eve, Christmas Day, knock on wood, has always been pretty successful for us in the sense of low calls, low incidences. Every once in a while something will come up.
You don't have that many domestics?
Well, that's what I was just going to say. You know, we'll get some domestics and some what we refer to as a welfare check, where, you know, someone didn't hear from somebody else and is concerned, maybe they're alone, those types of things. But
Family checkup would be a better
family
phrase
checkup.
To use.
Yeah.
Family a welfare checkup. Check?
What?
So, different connotation there.
Right. Yeah, we'll do it. You know, we'll get a couple of those. But then really we're rolling for New Year's Eve. And then, in Arcata, we've got April 20th that we're starting to think about, starting to look at plans for 4th of July. This is the time. This is a great time for us to do it.
The fact that Humboldt is out during New Year's, I know it's got to be a nice relief. What do you look at for New Year's? Is it the locals going down to the bars and kind of getting a little crazy, or the goofies firing off guns? New Year's at midnight, right. that kind of stuff?
Some of that, some guns, some fireworks stuff, but our draw in Arcata is the plaza. You know, it always has been. And so for that young 20 demographic, that's, they'll go to the plaza because the, you know, the access to the bars are right there, bar row. So we'll get them, not just our Arcata folks, but we get from all over, you know, the county.
So McKinleyville, Eureka.
Right, yeah, McKinleyville, Eureka type of thing. And yes, the university is not in session, so we don't have as many people there, but there's still, it's quite a draw. It's surprising. You see that with Halloween. You get the, you know, some of the college kids, but then we still get this other draw that is an interesting mix of people.
The folks who you anticipate seeing for New Year's, are they, do they hit a certain profile? Oh, yeah. My fear is for you and for most areas is that people see it as an excuse to do things under the cloak of crowd, New Year's,
right,
dark, whatever might happen to be, and you're getting not the type of people that most of us would think. You're getting representation from other segments in the community that are not nice people.
Yes. So, absolutely. New Year's, Halloween, we see that on both of those events, where there's just some people that are just up to no good.
Kind of an orneriness.
Yeah, and exactly. And they're just looking for trouble. Very small number, but very impactful. You know, you plop those people into a crowd, and they're the ones who are, you know, going to push somebody, you're going to antagonize and aggravate situations, and then, you know, scamper off into the darkness, and then come back around the block and start it up again at the other end. And we see it over and over again.
Can you identify them?
Are they identifiable? Yeah, somewhat. They're somewhat identifiable in each of our plans, actually, that we have for these events. One of our goals is to identify those people right away and try to deal with them from an enforcement perspective.
But a buddy for the night? You kind of walk around with them?
If we can figure out a way that if they're breaking any laws, they're getting arrested and they're going to jail.
Oh, just first opportunity, pull them out.
First opportunity that we get to arrest them, off they go.
Have you ever thought about public stockades? I think, you know, as goofy as it sounds, I think something like public humiliation, public shame.
Right, right.
Would be a huge deterrent. Then if you throw in a little target practice.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, well.
You just kind of look at these. Because I think they try to be anonymous. And they try to blend in. And they don't try to, you know, draw too much attention to themselves. They're just kind of the stirrers.
Right. Yeah.
Well, okay.
Poke the fire and step back.
Yeah. So here's the opposite of all of that. We put you underneath the spotlight.
Right.
Up on the stage. You know, you're trapped in. Everybody gets a chance to see. Yeah. Okay, fine.
Do they throw rotten tomatoes and heads of lettuce?
I would think water balloons, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah. You know, maybe with Nerf guns. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, some of that, I know some of it would be in jest.
Right.
But on the other hand, why not?
Well, you know, embarrassment is a deterrent for some. For some people, absolutely. They don't commit crimes because they don't want to be embarrassed. They don't want to shame themselves or their families or
Long time ago, you know, you didn't want to get caught drunk driving because you didn't want to be on the police reports.
Exactly.
And have everybody know that you're out driving around looped. Yeah.
Right.
KINS, News and Information Times, 3:43. Of course, most of those kids of those families ended up in law enforcement. It's kind of a strange connection there. We'll be back with more from Tom Chapman.
Sacred Heart Church invites you to join us every Sunday for our liturgical celebrations. Saturday, 4 p.m. Confessions. 5 p.m. Sunday's Vigil Mass. 7 p.m. Spanish Mass. And on Sundays, 9:30 Morning Mass and 12:30 Spanish Mass. Come and celebrate with us.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:47, a couple minutes left in the show with Tom Chapman. Tom, planning for next year, you talked about the Oyster Festival a little bit, or just kind of in passing. How much lead time does the police department need in those types of activities? Because isn't it more public works that helps to do the staging and the defining, and you and the fire chief and a couple of the others kind of go, yep, and then right. It's okay? Right.
Typically we want a good 60 days. We want that permit in place, the final permit, because it takes time for us to go to get to a final place with a lot of these events. The lion's share of work is the streets department and the garbage and, you know, barricades and all of those things. The security element becomes critical, and that's where, you know, our focus is.
Do you prefer your guys there, or they provide their own private security?
I want a combination of both. I want them to have the majority of the responsibility, and then I'll supplement their own security with a couple of uniformed officers, primarily to assist them. They're going to run
out into, on the fringes, kind of.
Exactly. Yeah. They'll run into a couple of, maybe an underage drinker or this or that, where we need to do a little bit of enforcement. But, you know, for the most part, it's people bringing dogs in, people smoking, people doing this, people doing that.
Have you ever figure out why? You have a public event, right?
Right.
Why do you bring a dog?
Every time. Every.
It's going to be aggressive. It's going to be overwhelmed. You know, so you're kind of feeling a little bad about the dog.
And there's food service. There's
little kids running around. You know, and then, you know, if the dog's eating anything, then you got that to deal with also, or right. drinking. Or
Every outdoor event happens every time.
Does anybody try to say no dogs?
Yes.
No dogs, no cats, no parrots.
Absolutely.
No snakes.
Right.
A human-only event.
Right. And somebody will show up with a bird. But regardless, all of these events, we say no dogs. The 4th of July, the Oyster Festival, North Country Fair, everyone will say no dogs. There's a food, there's a food service, there's too many people, it's just not the right place.
It's not where they belong.
But people do it. It boggles my mind. I don't know why you would do that.
That would drive me batty, but, you know, if I was an organizer, I probably wouldn't have a second shot, because I go out after those folks and say, you know, this isn't the right place. Please, you know, the dog park's over here.
Exactly.
Or have an area cordoned off for them, or the dog keeper or dog babysitter.
Right.
And they're not going to go roaming. You want a dog fight in the middle of an event?
Exactly. Yep.
I'm glad it's your job, though. Thanks for coming by, bud.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
We've been Talking Shop this afternoon with Tom Chapman. Join us tomorrow afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out making a good day. Hug someone you love. See you tomorrow.